noon radio all day. Technology. The only thing that doesn't make me feel old anymore. At least I try. Okay. It's alright, there's nothing. Okay, so, we have from Med T Creations, signed, so they're special edition for everybody in the room. Curry Muzzle, Build the Clouds, so, you guys want to pass them around, or if you want, I can leave them up here and you can whatever you want. Pass them around. If you run out, we
a couple Afton friends. I'll be seeing them either at this con or a different one. Yeah.
Yep.
Folks in the back, hear me? Okay. Okay. What did you say? Not gonna torture you guys. And for the folks that came in, we're passing around limited edition Curry Muzzle badges. If you want. They'll only be available at this. And they're signed by Air Raider and Mad T Creations. They actually are signed, so that's what makes them special. No, it's not on. Now you can hear me better. Hello.
Ah, that is better.
Much better. Okay. So, welcome everybody. Thank you for attending. So this is for us old folk, I guess, or people who've been in the fandom quite some time. Curry Muzzles. My name is Woven Terror. Yay! Oops. Oh, sorry. If anyone can make a badge that doesn't flip, you'll be a millionaire. I'm not talking about double-sided either. So I'm Woven Terror. I've been in the fandom. I'll explain that in a second, but I've been in the fandom since 1997. So it's been
right when I started too.
Yeah, been a while. I did kind of fall out, not for any other reason than life got in the way, for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. So most of the younger folk don't know who I am, but most of the older folk, you forgot who I am. I forgot who I am. I figured I'd just get everyone together and just talk about what was and what you think should be to a point. You know, this is certainly open for discussion. How you feel about the fandom back then and how you feel about it now. Hello.
Hello.
And by the way, we have limited edition.
Oh, yeah.
Grandmother's stuff is here.
Oh, absolutely.
They're signed by Air Raider.
Oh. Yeah. X-rays. Can you hand these up?
Right,
thank you. I don't trust my throwing arm.
That's okay. With my luck, I pop out an eye.
That's exactly where I would throw it.
In our advanced age,
oh, yeah.
Anything could happen.
Mm. Yeah. I've already had cataract surgery. In my eyes, I still need more.
The less surgery, the better.
Right.
But anyway, so back when I started, the whole fandom was very different. I mean, there's some things that are of course the same, or morphics, but I find that there was a large contingent of furs, and just a lot of folks that, forgive me for putting it this way, it was a bit of a free-for-all. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a bit more conservative today than it has been. Some of you may feel a little different, but, you know, we're not as I don't know how to word this. I don't want to say welcome. We welcome everybody. That's awesome. But we're at least a little more mature in the sense that we don't openly accept absolutely everything. I will leave it at that. I don't want to get into a full discussion as to you guys figure out what's good and bad. But I know when I first started, getting a hotel was like amazing. We didn't have half the stuff we do. We didn't have the technology. I mean, look at me. You see myself on my app. We also, I find too that a lot of the pictures that people took back then, I mean, obviously we had film cameras, so things didn't work as well. And we had those automatic cameras. But I really love the fact that watching these old videos and stuff, like this is something I'm trying to do. If we have video, even if it's VHS, you do low res 480i video, I really would love to get it all together. I mean, I don't have quite the resources yet for the website, but if somebody knows something, just because it's history. You know, it's history for the fur fandom, and it's big enough now where, yeah, we should preserve it. And, you know, kind of going through the years, it's just like there's a lot of younger folk here. I know some people are like, I don't like the young folk.
They poodle.
Hello. Oh, have a little badge for you. Enjoy. I'm going to leave this open for discussion, but I think, you know, one of the things as a grand Muslim is people have been out, I mean, how do you feel about, like, where the fandom is, and where would you like to see it go? And personally, I always said that a lot of the grand Muslims ended up being, you know, we ended up doing the staff and the cons. We have a lot of young folks too, but, so what do you, how do you feel? Where it's going. Yeah.
We were just talking earlier today about how there's a marked difference, I think, between even the last 5 years, where, you know, going out, taking your head off in public used to be a thing where it was like, no, you don't do that. Yeah. A headless lounge. Now, it's very relaxed, you know? And I honestly don't think that's a bad thing. I think that some people might be able to cast that as like, people aren't taking it seriously anymore, but like, it makes people more comfortable, you know? The emphasis on handlers seems to have been drastically reduced over the years, right?
Who's a handler for years?
So many solo fursuiters around, and the world's not crashing down, you know what I mean? They're not falling all over themselves. Right. I kind of feel like the pandemic did a number on us and made us just appreciate things, like, want to hone in on the positive aspects of furry and let go of the sort of draconian rules that we kind of grew up with in the 90s, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm sorry. Yeah, you want to have a bench? Hello! Alright, so, yeah, I agree with you. When I started, I was a handler. How many of you know Robert T. Rabbit or knew him? Robert T. Rabbit?
I remember the name.
Yes, he's a New York fur.
He did a show on cable TV, and he would be in fursuit and also a puppet.
Yes, yep, and I was actually...
Well, if someone shows up...
Here.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. You're fine. You want to sit there? Yeah, someone shows up.
Yeah, I can move for some ladies.
You know, technically, some of us need that anyway. Unfortunately, the reason I'm not standing is because I have a bad knee, and it's hurting. And this weather doesn't help.
No. Yeah, I know.
Yells at clouds? Damn you, weather!
That's my Abenaki name.
Yep. And I have to get a little wolf. But anyway, going back to what you were saying. So I helped Rabbit a lot on a show. I was his handler a lot of the time. Not just him, but other folks as well. We did the City Parade in New Jersey. That's still actually a thing. Just since Rabbit passed, we don't have the gathering we had back then. But yeah, I mean, you're right. It used to be where we didn't... we didn't have the stigma now that we had then, where you popped your head, that's it. It's like, oh my god, you know.
I remember that.
Yeah.
They used to talk about, like, no, you gotta, like, be careful, you gotta drink, because you might need to sweat it out until you can get to a headless lounge. And it's, now, it's like, no, there's no reason to do that. We all know.
Most people think, even younger folks, they understand that there's a person in there.
Yeah, and they're the ones poodling, and it's moving in that direction.
Yeah.
You know?
And honestly, I'm gonna use this word, and no, God, I was gonna say the H word, humanizes people. Yeah.
No. Ooh, I will hurry. Yeah.
This is not Disney. You don't have to maintain character at all times.
Exactly right, dude.
Well, nobody's getting paid to do it. I mean, it
that's
a big deal.
Yeah.
Here, we're doing it because we like it. And if we need, because of our physical, emotional needs, to get out of that head, we should get out of the head.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that you need to get out of your own head sometimes?
That's perfect. Perfect. Thank you for that. Yeah, and I think going forward, it's just gonna stick where it just to pop your head,
I did the impossible fursuit charades earlier, and I only have a partial, so it was just the arms and the hands and the head, but I didn't have legs on, but no one was like, oh, you can't do that, I can see your legs.
Yes. No one cares anymore.
We're well past that. Hey, Red.
With the delusion that every furry has a full fursuit.
Yeah.
That's been a public misconception for a long time. Mm-hmm. Or that we're all six all the time. Well,
you know what's funny? So, how many of you remember the CSI thing?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
We still get shit about that.
Who would want a $3,000 head to be sick?
Well, here's the thing about that. I'm not gonna really get into too much with CSI.
You can look it up.
No, but seriously, it's funny because at that time, they presented the cons as, like, nothing but fursuits. Mm. And for the longest time, we were all like, we wish we could see that. And then, like a few cons, like AthroCon, tons of fursuits. There's like 500-600 of them. It's like, oh my god, reality imitating art in some way. If you want to call that, before I'm called CSI art. I mean, I like the show, man.
Entertainment.
Well, I think at the time, they were focused on, like, Freak of the Week thing.
Yeah.
So, like, here's furry, and next week it's, like, adult baby furs. Apparently somebody cosplaying as Sherlock Holmes or whatever. So, like, you clearly do not care about doing the research, and it's whatever gets the ratings in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
well,
right.
I'll
the inaccuracies.
Them.
The biggest inaccuracies.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Associated student body yearbook.
Where'd you get that?
From forever ago.
I
have
forever
a whole bag of the scavenger with me.
Awesome.
Oh my gosh.
I think I have a paint
biggest inaccuracy.
Sorry?
I'm sorry.
I still got like the Rabbit Valley catalog with issue zero circles.
Yes.
Well, before that, there was something called Mailbox Books.
Yes.
And actually, I knew someone.
I actually
knew someone who didn't consider himself a furry, who was in a giant Chanda animal. And when I opened it up, the catalog, it said, oh, there's something called Albany Anthrocon. So I decided to go to that, and I saw this guy in a lab coat who started to talk to me and everything. And then the rest is history. But I mean, that was kind of the sort of thing back then.
Yeah.
You had mailbox books and things like that you would send away for.
Oh,
and I wasn't even on the internet until right around the time of the first Albany Anthrocon.
Yeah.
So going back to 97 and in those days. But one thing I was going to mention was there's a lot of nostalgia and history now. Cons are doing panels on furry history, appas, zines, cons, all that sort of stuff, the history of everything. Joe Strike has written books and everything. There's the Fursonas documentary. There's the Fandom documentary.
Yes.
Looking back at that, not just as nostalgia, but showing our history and appreciating it. And we were there. We were there.
A local videographer came in to get a badge earlier. It's like, I'm just doing some filming on this for a thing. And it's like, great. It's nice to see positive portrayals.
Yeah.
Well,
a very brief cameo on the
furry tree.
Oh, yeah.
Ash had a. Had a archive footage from Catholic Con 98. And I'm standing there holding the camera for Rocket 2 Rabbit.
The
hands right across. Yep, the
camera.
Yeah,
the ones
that, like, you know,
the shoulder-mounted
monstrosity. Yeah. And when Anthrocon moved to Pittsburgh, you'd put on the local radio stations, and they go, "Oh yeah, they all have big litter boxes in their rooms. They smell like crazy and everything like that." What? And that sort of thing was going on. Then all of a sudden, they discovered we spend money.
Yes,
we spend money, and also they embraced us. The city embraced us with all the pop heads and everything. So I went to this thing. Every Wednesday night, they have this thing at the Elks Lodge with banjo night. Everyone plays the banjo. Oh, you're at that furry convention. Are they going to take it out the parade outside? I love you guys. And I'm like, yes.
That, I like that.
So Pittsburgh came to embrace us. Again, the documentaries and everything showed it.
Yeah. No, yeah. I totally support archiving anything you can. I mean, we're getting there.
I've had a couple people approach me going, "We want to archive your stuff." I'm like, I've got most of it still from 97.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, now my brain's turned. No, the way I stumbled accidentally into first was via a pen pal, a pen and paper pen pal, who was an anime pen pal, who is in California. Phil Velasquez, that's his ball. It's a lovely name. And he said, "Hey, there's something going on in your way. Here's a flyer. Here's a paper flyer. Something called Albany. You're in New York." I'm like, "Wow, that's a whole 2 hours away." I don't know. But yeah, that was the first one. It was the first Anthrocon. And it's like, holy shit. I just called up. They're like, "Yeah, come on."
Yeah, I remember.
They made me a guest. Shockingly.
I remember when they said they were switching to Pittsburgh, and I'm like, oh my god, that's going to be so much farther away.
Yeah.
So worth it, though, you know?
Yeah,
it's a good area to have it,
it's
really.
Basically, Pittsburgh is basically...
It's
some furry fun in there.
Was anybody there for Anthrocon?
Anthrocon. I do awful puns on, like, locations. We are now in Portland. There's Boston, there's Pittsburgh, and even before the Furrydelphia convention started, I called it Furrydelphia. So there's all sorts of puns you could do on Pittsburgh.
Well, most of the con names are puns. I mean, this is for vacation land.
Oh, it is, yeah. How many people realize that?
Don't put a space, otherwise you have the British one, and also a dental term.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
By the way, Pittsburgh is so accepting of us now that they actually list Anthrocon in their local art scene.
That's nice.
Yeah. As far as they're concerned, it is a Pittsburgh tradition, which I think is adorable.
That's,
and I
want to
be
great.
Like, that's cute.
The tourism video show a little clip. They show some of the furries out there as part of the official tourism video.
Yep.
Now.
Speaking of modern day, speaking of modern day stuff, I think we had, and correct me if I'm wrong, we were advertising on that time and temp clock.
I don't know if you can see it from here, but there were some pictures earlier.
Oh, the time and temp,
FCL.
Yeah.
I did see that.
Yeah. And then we have, of course, we have the projection.
The paw print projected on the hotel.
Yeah, yes. On the side with the garage.
Oh, yeah.
It's projecting the big paw.
Oh, the wind tunnel.
Yeah, you do it on the
cool.
Especially with the
fog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that would look
really
cool.
Furman.
Furman. Shedding, yes.
Did anyone, I never hear anyone talk about this, and it was such a big part of my furry upbringing. Did anyone play for Furcadia?
Oh my god.
Oh god. It's been a while.
It's been a while, right? But I feel like that's a chapter when we're talking about the fandom and all these documentaries and everything. No one ever talks about it. But it was one of the first places I ever felt like a true like self-expression in a big MMO kind of environment. And it was
also
all Anthro.
Oh, that is even pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, the text-based one.
Yeah.
Tapestries.
VCL. Dixon Control Library, yes.
I was so proud when I got into that.
Remember Europe? Europe.com?
No. What's
I know, that was the Squeaky Clean Archive.
Clean Furry Archive, which became Europe, and everyone doing their own GeoCities pages and things like that.
Yeah.
Raccoonie's homepage.
The Main State Furs were looking at redoing the web page, and I was like, oh, we should do it like the old GeoCities.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, and he put like little Netscape Navigator buttons on the bottom and all that stuff. But he's actually, Mips should be in here because he loves old classic stuff. He said, I want to get into photography with an old film camera, not like with the digital. It's
you
like,
can find those.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's got it. He's trying to get more onto the photography department, and it's like with something old and nostalgic.
That
he's
be
even
nice.
Got some Polaroid cameras.
Oh, a lamp camera? How about a brownie?
That was
something else. Or a speed graphic. That's what you want, speed graphic. Blind him with the
beard. You've had it's ADHD. I call it there's something else. Oh, you mentioned GeoCities. When we had the little web circles.
Web rings.
Yep.
Thank you. That was it. I think bringing back, we don't need them. It's just because it's.
I miss bulletin boards and message boards.
Yes.
There's a few still out there.
AOL Instant Messenger. I'm sorry. Although Telegram, you know, with pictures.
Telegram, actually, I've grown to really love. Because you can do almost anything with it. Pictures, video.
Yeah. Yes, I love the stickers.
You and the Telegram stickers.
Yeah, I got into the fandom in either 1990 or 1991. When I found the All-Fan Furry News Group. And it's kind of like, you know, so basically my first decade was the news groups. I never got into the convention scene until the mid-2010s. Even though I was going to conventions since 1990, it's just, I never was able to make it to a furry convention until Boston had a one-shot furry convention. It wasn't supposed to be a one-shot, but...
Is that Maltese FurCon?
Maltese FurCon.
I didn't go, but my roommate did one.
That was where I finally was able to make the in-person connections, considering that I spent the last 10-plus years just online.
I can move that. Sorry.
For me, I started.
Google bought the Usenet, so all the alt stuff is still, you can still search for it under Google Groups, so... Like, I mostly got onto alt horror werewolves, and I tell, like, current parents, it's like, yeah, if you want to see what a pain in the ass I was in the late 90s, just go there. The fur domain isn't, though, because that was on separate, but anything under alt.
Do the Wayback Machine, look for your werecard.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't buy Usenet, they bought one of the big... one of the big suppliers.
Yeah, I remember just getting the art, and it's like, oh man, it's not coded right. I gotta get the thing. But there was, I came on Fur Affinity a few years ago, I came across an artist who was like, oh, I lost all my art in some data thing, and so on. I'm like, and it's just like, I actually had downloaded a whole ton of this way back when. You want me to send you
copies? Yes.
Yeah.
This is
why
art wants to be shared.
You're a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Archive them.
Is anyone specifically looking for that? Because I have lots of things.
What kind of?
I don't know, but I won't.
Like,
this is
a Dog Days of Summer shirt. I'm sure not many of these exist anymore, because this is from 2008.
I'll be honest, I would love to do it myself. I don't have the resources, but if I can find someone, I can certainly hook you up again.
Okay.
I agree.
I can't remember her name. This is the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
Gail Frostbane. She's another team that's doing an archiving
project. Fang, Feather, and Finn? Something like that.
Summer Cat.
I think it's called Fang, Feather, and Finn.
I think we're all... Raise your hand if you just, like, forgot the word on the...
When? Have you forget words?
Wait, why did I raise my hands again?
You raise your hand just with an archive.
Fortunately, my arm has a problem with my hands. Well, maybe that's unfortunate.
The gray muscle battle cry.
Yeah.
Sound like a bunch of balls.
I'll do the lazy wolf owl.
Oh.
Minus what now?
Huh?
Actually, I'm keeping an eye on Slack. If there's an emergency arrives, I got to run back over there.
Right. I get it. Yeah. Oh. We're in the same department.
Yeah.
As long as there's not a emergency.
Yes.
Where do you think we'll be in 20 years?
That's a great question.
Hopefully still breathing, hopefully. Yeah,
well, not us specifically, but the band.
I would like you to still be breathing.
Well, all of the things being equal and status quo, or things get better.
I mean, there's not getting better, at least my fandom.
Yeah.
Things will change and things will also be different.
It will. I think it's going to grow. I think it's still going to be very different.
I hope we stay weird. I don't want to be normal.
I don't think that's a problem.
Being socially accepted is overrated.
We have not changed in terms of weirdness since I started. Yeah, to a point. I mean, like I said, we're a little more conservative.
Yeah.
A little more conservative, but at the same time,
like
we're still, I mean, we still, look at me. You're red. You know?
Yeah. I could have said something really mean, but I
don't. Dealers and tourists, but I think when, as technology changes, there will always be furries who look to see to use that. Like, I'm thinking, like, I've seen suits that had, like, LED lights. I'm like, why the hell didn't I study electrical engineering in college? Not long ago in Reg, somebody had their tail, like, Bluetooth connected to, like, a little switch controller to make it wag and stuff. Mm-hmm. It had some problems, but it's like,
servos.
I don't remember their name. They were there earlier, but it's like, anytime there's new progressions of stuff, somebody's going to find a way to incorporate furry to, like, add to their fursuits and make something else cool.
Furries love technology.
And yeah.
The way to think about it in terms of fursuits is, like, in terms of costuming, it's the state of the art.
Technology.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff that goes the other way, too. There is a furry who invented a cooling system to go under their costume, which is now used by the U.S. military.
Yes.
Because they basically said, what are you doing on the weekends? Because he was active military, and he showed them his design, and they were like, yeah,
oh, what's his
we would like to make those.
Again, state of the art. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's furries who are it seems like furry is often on the forefront of these things because a lot of furries are super into tech.
Yeah.
So they're everywhere. So it's like, you know, we've got furries who are pioneering VR stuff.
You remember that photo of a whole bunch of fursuiters on a plane, and the caption was like, I fear for this because if this goes down, that will cripple the IT infrastructure.
Nice.
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 So I think one thing we were talking about is the furry them becoming more conservative, but also like there's a lot of a younger contingency. Is one thing that we've seen since our very first convention was that there's families coming because furries are having children and they want to still go to conventions and bring their children, and it just kind of, so I think there's definitely a great group of parents who are not into the fandom but their kids are, and they bring them to these things, like, but there's also furry families.
I have mixed feelings, I'm sorry. Because I'm used to how weird and how, like, out there, and how it's like, it was grown-ups, you almost never saw minors.
Yeah.
And we could be a little more out there, a little let loose,
more.
So, but that's, I do miss that, but I'm also not a parent. I don't have to deal with children, so I don't know.
I'm
talking out my ass, so there's a lot I
but,
don't
but I see the same thing
about
at sci-fi.
Families and things.
I see the same thing at sci-fi convention these days.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like, it's going
to
be family friendly until like 6 or 8 p.m. and then after 8 p.m. they say the minors need to go away so that the adults can play a little bit. Not night market level, but just like, you know, like 16 plus level.
Yeah.
You know.
We can play Cards Against Humanity without the 6-year-old going, what?
Yeah. I see it evolving very similar to the way just human history. We just keep growing, keep changing.
We are amoebas, we will assimilate.
Yes. and with more, I mean, furries are becoming a bit more mainstream. I mean, you hear it in.
I don't want to be mainstream.
Well, I'm too late for that.
Ugh.
I'm not talking about CSI. I mean, they make. They don't necessarily make
really
fun of it. Some of them are. You see the Family Guy, there's a few clips about furries, more than a few.
American Dad,
yes.
A very favorable one where they just. A little throwaway bit where Smith and Bullock are going to different parties and stuff, and in one of them they're just in fursuit, and it's not a big deal.
Yeah,
you know,
it didn't the commentary, I looked, they actually have the DVD in it, and there's a commentary. I thought they were going to say something. They didn't even bother. They were just like, we just.
Oh, Family Guy rips on furries. That's like, it's like, you guys can't throw stones. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, like South Park ripping on furries.
Cyberpunk 2077, there's an email I read. I don't remember where it is because there's thousands of them in the game, but there's a reference to Bad Dragon.
Nice.
Oh, they actually used the term Bad Dragon.
Nice to know that survives.
Capital D.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Big D or little D? Always big D.
I forget the name of it, but there's a group of furries who started brewing homebrewing cider.
Nice.
And they started distributing it. It became pretty popular. Started putting out, and it had, the labels are like super furry. You know, they've got all the very anthropomorphic. It became so popular, they've actually just opened about a month ago, I think. They opened their own brew pub.
Nice.
It is explicitly a furry-friendly brew pub.
And where is this?
It's in Seattle.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Right, it's like, there's a series of like, this is a queer, furry-friendly brew pub, wear your fursuit, come on in, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's a popular place. Uh-huh. And it's like, this is a furry-owned, very popular business in Seattle, which is like, blows my mind. But this is like,
I see more happening, more and more. You know, and like the military and the pub, and that's what I mean by mainstream.
So long as they don't become Disney.
For me, mainstream would just be like a well-known person who openly admits, kind of like Vin Diesel says, "Yeah, I play D&D."
Yeah, hell yeah.
So, and not just like that politician from Connecticut who got screwed over, but I want like some celebrities like, "Oh yeah, no, I have a tail and ears or go to cons."
There we go. Nomination for the furry party. Is there any chance of you getting in this year?
Well, one thing, speaking about where things are going and speaking to what you were saying, I think one thing you're seeing is a diversity that didn't exist back when I started in the fandom in 1993, and it was, almost exclusively male, white.
Yeah. Comic book
almost
guy from The Simpsons. Worst con ever!
Straight. But, like, you know, it took us a while to get some gay furry comics going, for example.
Yeah. But they were out there. It took a while.
They came out.
But, you know, market. When, you know, now I come and I see, you know, people of color more and more. Yeah. I see women more and more. I see, you know, trans and genderqueer, I love it. I love seeing it.
We're on the vanguard.
The bathrooms are.
We're on the vanguard.
Oh yeah,
awesome,
yeah.
You know,
it's fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely. People have asked me, "What do you think about kids coming into fandom?" I said, "I think it's freaking great because it means this thing that we all started back in the day isn't going anywhere. Yeah. It will continue."
You've got different furries. Some are generated, some are come into a family and they grow up with it and they go, cool. Some find it on their own, they go, cool, and the parents go, kids are like, this is cool. some are born, some are made, some just accidentally stumble into it. They do come from all different possibilities. Everybody is a potential furry.
I mean, look at Boozy Badger. His entire plowed into the family at this point.
And he was like, this is where we're
on. So, I mean, right there, he knows the law, and that's, but yeah, again, mainstream.
Well, so many movies.
2028.
So many of the movies out there, from Zootopia to Guardians of the Galaxy and everything, can kind of get into the whole furry thing and make a lot of money. All these different, you know.
I mean, there might actually be mainstream, furries in industry as well.
So. Of course,
A couple of people who worked on Zootopia are
first. Yeah. Yeah.
This is my
surprise.
You don't say.
Joaquin Baldwin is pretty out of bounds.
Speaking of,
get
sorry.
This
is an original from Circles.
Andy Prince, yep. Original, yes. Yep, they did their 20th anniversary at A&E a couple years ago. Circles.
Unofficially, they said, yeah, you can consider Nick Wilde his descendant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Robin Hood and all that sort of stuff. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a pretty well-attended Zootopia panel at AC last year. We're planning to do it again if they approve it, but, oh, man. Every single year, except for the pandemic years, we've always had a panel about Zootopia, and I did panels at, like, FERPOC and A&E and AC and everything of Zootopia, and it's a treasure trove of what you can do.
You and Dapper, right?
Yep, me and Dapper, and then me and High Wing over at AC. So we're hoping to, Highwing and I are hoping to do it again if we're approved.
We have an ongoing joke that Disney releases a furry movie every 20 years.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the cycle,
Hoodalally.
Aristocats.
Yeah. Lion King in the 90s, Zootopia. They have Zootopia 2 coming now. Yeah. So
I thought they had
and they had the miniseries on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It's
the same kind of thing.
Anthropomorphics is easier to draw, and then you can do more of the emotion in it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now I think it's, especially with going through the younger ones, is it's an idea of self-identity.
Yeah.
Seeing a lot of kids, like in registration or even at AnthroCon, I remember one of the AstroFur parties, seeing so many kids coming up to look through the telescope, and it's like, not only are their parents accepting enough to bring them, they're interested enough in science to look through a telescope. That was so reassuring.
Yeah. I like that. But, yeah.
Yep. Oh, like, I mean, at the variety show today, there was an 11-year-old who broke out the great dance routine.
That was really cool.
It's so cool. It's so cool to see how confident some of these younger kids are. Like, I know that when we were growing up, like, the idea of doing anything like that is terrifying.
Yeah.
And I really feel like this fandom is making more confident young adults.
And that's the positive. That's I think really what
we're in a generation of Instagram and YouTube and Facebook Live where your family is out there for anyone to see.
Yeah.
Hopefully you won't get stalked, but you're all over the place. Oh, look, here's our son and our daughter. Look what they did. Mm-hmm. And then putting, like, I was doing Facebook Live during the variety show myself. You know, hey, they're on there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Why do they have Scullies?
To be full about the positive and what we can do to keep that up. You know, I mean, we don't, it's too much negative speed.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need, this. Type in fridge drama, you will see never any of
it.
So, I would love to see it going forward, but even just for the future, everybody just,
it seems like there's a lot of it. Because Owl House was
over
like, what, 2017?
You know, like, make this better.
It was really good.
Oh, dude.
Keep the positive attitude.
Our daughter loved it.
Where, I think we're on the right track, personally.
I do get, I'm sorry, I keep running over your tongue.
It's okay.
You're a little bit. One of my shoes taste.
No,
you're talking about positive stuff. I am encouraged that I see a lot of young people, like teenagers, that are into art and they like want to know more. And they're coming, not just to me, I'm sure, but I've been talked to by a lot of them. They're like, well, what do I do? How do I do? You know, I draw a bunch, put this thing down, close this. Get some paper and pencils. That's just my advice, but whatever device, however you do draw, however you accomplish your artwork, just do a bunch of it and do what you enjoy.
Right.
Do what you enjoy, and don't worry about looking like this person or that person. Develop your own style, which is part of staying off the computer for a while. And take anatomy classes, those boring 6-hour classes where you're drawing skeletons and you're drawing a live person, live drawing. But yeah, kind of tell them what I do. It's like, yeah, that's what
there
I do. It may or may not work for you. It's lots of resources.
There are resources that
online.
Didn't exist even 10 years ago if you want to learn how to draw. And it's working because the kids today draw. Like, has anyone heard of Squiddy?
Yeah,
he's like 22 and he's drawing at a professional illustrator level. He didn't even finish his degree.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Some people are phenoms.
The guy who made Undertale
too,
just as well
with charcoal.
Ironically
enough,
and that was amazing.
There's actually a How to Draw Furries.
The books. I've seen the books.
Yeah.
The actual title.
I have one of them. It's like the second one.
I know. So that's pretty crazy. Cool. So, I mean, they've got their, like I said,
I'll have to find something else
book
where you join.
Heather has two
songs. Michael's is actually a lot better than he used to be. Actually get high grade professional artist supplies.
I miss AC Moore.
Gambling?
I think since AC Moore?
They don't carry Prisma colors anymore. They don't carry, my local one has.
They don't carry, they color carry Copic now.
You love them or you hate them?
Or is it the
But I'm going direct through Dick Blick for best prices on
well, I think
colors.
You have to go through Dick Blick.
There's a main college of art, and I know on Congress Street there's like an art store, like the college. So I'm not an artist, so I don't know what the supply is, but yeah, I think it's just
look like. Well, yeah, I mean, art supplies and what you use for your supply, it's very personal to the artist. Yes, like they, if they, if, and a lot of us artists who've been doing it for a long time, We want to use the same thing over and over again for like old traditionals. It's like, I need this.
I think that's true for a lot of stuff. I don't want it changed like from my old phone to a new one.
That's true.
How many of you have gone through that?
Well, the phone thing or the air?
Well, in general, just like you have this old way of doing things, whether it's phone or whatever, and you just don't want to change.
Sometimes.
I'm using the percolator for my coffee, so there.
Like I said, I don't know why I'm so. I love technology. I'm so good with it. That's just a plus.
Hey, if it works for you, it's awesome.
It does. But there's a lot of stuff like old dishes and stuff.
Yeah.
Like the old china.
If it works, why get rid of that?
Yeah.
Get rid of
it. Hate me. They know I'm using them, and they're like,
"That's how I feel." We're gonna jump on the floor. The dishes.
A little, like, little finger emoji as you started out.
I have a terrible dystopian question.
Go for it.
We're talking about the fandom maybe growing in the future because it seems that we're heading that way. My biggest fear is that we lose our completely a-corporate nature.
Someone moves in and they say, "We can hook you up with a fursuit. Like, go to our website, fill out, like, do these drop downs, and we're gonna." You know,
don't people already do that to a degree?
They try.
But some sort of corporate mass-produced one that's, of good quality.
Walmart.
Really scares the heck out of me. The idea of it getting away from it. Some sort of mass-produced thing.
It's funny you mention that, because Boozy Badger, this is back at Frisco, or one of the cookie...
No one has copyrighted Furry.
They reached out to Furry, and they were like, hey, how about, you use us, or something. I mean, like, you know what? You guys are gonna. I'm gonna try to censor this as much as I can, but send them pictures with just the biggest horse dung. People did, and then they just like they backed out.
Yeah.
And the whole purpose of that wasn't to like say, "Yo, furries are perverts." It was to prevent them from getting corporate. So, or corporate getting involved. That's a danger.
How do we stave that off?
Well, I think
if
you can, how litigious is Disney, right? How much do you see Disney going after sexual fan art?
Yeah,
they don't want that in the news.
Well,
they're gonna have to try
there's
harder,
always
there's
been
a lot of
art of the Tijuana Bibles and all the other stuff, but one thing I've always liked about furry compared to other fandoms or even like sports fans is we are completely generating our own content.
Yes.
We are not dependent on BBC to provide us with Doctor Who or Paramount to give us Star Trek or even like whatever sports things, whatever team. If we want something, we build it. It is ours. We are the most creative fandom out there. Yeah.
By the fandom, for the fandom.
Also, we also assimilate very gleefully other things that we just like. We like that.
Sorry.
That's part of
Go ahead. I think to your point, I think that furry is very kind of like, I hate to say this, but cliquish. Everybody knows everybody else in furry in a way. Like, you go to a furry con, everybody's like, oh, hey, it's that suit. I think that if it got to the point where Walmart or whoever had a deliver your own fursuit kind of thing, people would reject that real quick. They're like, oh, it's those. It's the cheap ones that you can get off of whatever.
Target did have
real tails. Sometimes
by
you
the
get
way.
Like crap for it. So
I think people are going to be like, no. Because I mean, honestly, what I've seen more and more right now, which I love, is that as the price of getting a professionally made fursuit is going up and up and up, more and more people are going DIY again.
Yeah.
And
I'm
seeing so many handmade, really creative, awesome suits. We're just like, I'm going to make my own thing.
In defense a little bit of the corporate, like, if you see, like, some of the furry-related stuff from Spirit is, if you're a kid with, like, almost no budget and you're looking to get into it in some, with even just the ears, it can be a good gateway into it, I think it will be distinguishable between, I got this off the rack versus, I actually talked to a furry creator, but I think on a small scale, not like full fursuits, but on a small scale of just some small parts, that can help people who are on limited budget feel more included. Because, it does help to, you know, especially if you got some dysphoria aspect.
Costuming's been around for ages.
I mean, you can go to the dollar store and get
so long to
cat ears
an
and a tail in Halloween time. And I haven't said to those that I wore to our first convention just because I didn't have anything else.
And if you really go ahead as technology progresses, you can take those costume parts, or I don't want to say costume, you know, ears.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe start making your electronics in, maybe like, you know, make Twitch.
Yeah.
Well, and as long as it gets your foot in the door, like you said, there's so many good quality creators, even just here. I was shocked. This is my first time being here. But just the amount of content and the quality of the content down in the den and everything else.
Oh,
as long
God.
As you can get your foot in the door and you start seeing those things, immediately you just like start to aspire to those things. You start to see like, wow, it would be really cool to have a full head or, you know, whatever part it might be.
You made the point. It inspires people. The more you can do for your, you know, people see it and they're like, I can do that. Or I can do something else.
Yeah.
Or give them a
separate
track that they it opens their minds.
Yeah.
Everybody learns from everybody else. Like somebody says like, you know, somebody figures out, oh, I just figured out how to make really great eyes with my 3D printer.
Yeah.
They pass that along. And then somebody says, I figured out how to do this cool thing. And, like, it's awesome seeing Percy's that technology is evolved as everyone trades ideas back
and forth. And like 3D rigging now with in CG.
VR chat?
Yeah, like VR chat and 3D rigging and stuff like that. Like a friend of mine doesn't do anything furry, but she has basically taught herself how to do 3D rigging in the last year.
It's a different version of fursuit making.
And I'm just waiting and begging for the day that she gets into the furry fandom, because she could probably fund her entire retirement.
Yeah.
Some of those avatars and how animated they are amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like they have little twitchy ears and little, you know, you see the whiskers going, and it's like little details that, like, you really look at them.
Hours.
They're so
accurate.
Yeah.
I've messed with VR chat. There is so much furry on there.
Yeah.
And it's so awesome because everyone's like, creators will make a something for you to start from and give you all the files that you need to then create your own.
The same with games. Like a friend of mine did like once playing The Sims with the werewolf mod, and he got a canine mod for Fallout 4, the one set in Boston.
Yeah.
So you're watching werewolves and foxes. I'm like,
Commonwealth.
Yeah, I'm like, they should have made the ghouls look like regular humans, but then what would the super mutants be? And is that like, then you're like, oh my God, now I want to build a mod.
Yeah.
And,
to come back around to some other, like, because I'm major into like the gaming space, like in Cyberpunk 2077, someone's created a very well articulated set of mods to basically project the future of furry into this game space of people that have actually gone through the process of having implants and modifications done to actually walk around as actual their sonas in this world. And it's I'm impressed by the work that people have done just to turn that into a thing inside of the game.
But yeah, a good person.
Yeah,
a good person.
Yeah,
he had some very interesting modifications. He had the whiskers. Actually, he had the whisker, the stud points in his jeans.
I have a picture with him.
He's very, very. They were cool.
Yeah.
I miss him.
Very brave to do that.
They were. I'm gonna use eggs. I don't
know. I think that's gonna be more common. So.
Absolutely.
Just they partly like, and like a lot of people come. It's like I'm honestly not sure.
I am a metahuman.
Today, until
the next generation of digital human powered by Unreal Engine. Metahumans are highly
technology.
That's right. That's right.
Actually,
I'd like to take this time to announce a full self function turned off.
Has anyone seen this metahumans thing on YouTube or whatever?
Yeah.
Quite impressive.
Okay.
You know how the faces look and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Metahumans.
It's insane.
How everything is tied together.
So, metahumans.
I've lost my train.
That's what I was thinking of, the technology.
On YouTube?
It's just a glimpse of things
that
come.
Yeah,
they
very likely
have.
Batman Beyond.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Splash's episode.
Yep.
Yep.
I could see that being a thing eventually. I think we're still a ways off from it, but that's...
Hey, CRISPR, man. It's in the early stages.
Oh, boy.
You know?
Yep. Nope. So, it's, I mean, I thought we'd be a little further ahead.
I'm
going to
be
having
a refrigerator.
We trip over
well, this one's
half a lot.
What? It's painful, but growth is never...
growth is painful.
It's true. It's helpful.
No, if you're growing and you're not in pain or you're not hurting yourself, you're doing something seriously wrong.
Oh, such a good episode. I love this
place. Failure is how we learn. We all
earned our
wrinkles and the bendies.
Yeah. Gray hairs and so how did you hurt yourself?
Well,
vacation, yeah.
Pain, aches and knees and that.
And then visit the old people's home and go, I'm not doing too badly. I take my cat in to see one of them.
I'm sorry to say, someone was working in the nursing
home. No, I was
just
in the house.
So, yeah, you cherish your knees and your mobility while you still have it.
So all the people, all the young people are like, oh, we should have like a community of furries and just like have a time. It's like, no, how about a furry retirement village?
Yes. You got to allow pets, so you got to allow
them to that is wheelchair
we
friendly.
Yes.
Sorry, just to make this happen.
And we already got the inclusive.
What would you call it?
The mobility aspect.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, we have talked about the furry kind of the future. That kind of stuff.
Oh, yes.
I'd like to see that continue.
Beyond cougars, you have snow leopards.
Well, just the acceptance and the awareness and like the welcoming aspect of it. Because they kind of go hand in hand.
Or just cure it. Like, I think it came up on some review was like, would there still be disabilities in Star Trek? I mean, honestly, if I had the ability to change people's bodies, there would be people like, okay, you are now a wolf, so that is your
kind
of done.
At that point, we can make that happen.
Or like other people like, do you want to stay a wolf, or I could get you out of there?
Prove me wrong,
folks. Please don't make me live in any kind of
a Disney movie. Was there a forum called Furtopia?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like Barbara Gordon. It's like, how do you justify having this person in a wheelchair when
I'm
like that Bruce Wayne?
That's a great name.
Like,
the best game ever.
A little bit of a
so long ago.
Yeah.
Was that a con?
It was
a second
one.
It was a what? Oh.
Second Life was the 3D.
Yeah, I used to. To me, that was a precursor to VRK.
No, I'm not sure. Now I'm going
to
Google it.
Go for it.
Well, that's another thing.
No.
Back 20 years ago, we didn't Google anything. Google didn't exist more than 25 years ago.
Yep.
We went to
Alta Vista.
Netscape Navigator.
Yeah.
We had
Ask Jeeves.
Poor Jeeves.
I mean, that's
we put our Encarta disc into.
I mean, that's definitely a difference from the old days. Just trying to organize at a con to say, you know, like I used to joke and say it became a point where people would be like, "What are you doing for dinner? What are you doing for dinner?" And
oh,
I would finally say, "I'm going here. Then, if you're with
join me,
great.
Yeah.
If not, I don't care." Because it was the literal herding cats.
Yes,
you would be like, "Oh, I just need to tell my friend." You know,
no.
I'm like, "Great, do whatever you do. 30 minutes, I'm walking out that door, and I'm going to Maggiano's."
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
it's kind of amazing that we got the fur fox as early as we did in the 90s, because half of us didn't have the room.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's like, how do we get the word out, and how do we organize this?
There were fanzines, the paper
FTP.
Net.
Well,
I'm in college going through the FTP, like War Archive, and looking for art, and the college computers, and I came across this Jimmy Chin picture, and I'm like, that looks really nice. And it just stayed with me. And it's like, yeah, and it was like, it actually said, don't just dream it, be it. I had not even seen Rocky Horror, but it's like, I like that.
It's a good message.
There were personal fanzines and also the apps like Huzzah and Yurf and everything that you didn't have to be on the net. You could do that. You could. And there have been panels about that too, the paper net, as they say.
Yes. Yeah.
a lot like the anime fandom and the sci-fi fandom.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they all managed to find each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I think the crossover is a furry kind of started out of some of the sci-fi stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then cons branching off from, like, DuckCon had MFF was a byproduct of DuckCon, for example. Yeah.
Didn't DuckCon is no longer a thing, is it?
I don't even know if it is, no.
No, that's basically MFF.
Well, should we full circle it and start having sci-fi room parties?
They cleaved us.
Yeah.
It was a sci-fi, like, this, or actually, I'm surprised Brody didn't branch off, but that kind of... The next it will be Bluey, so it'll be like Bluey Con spinning out of the there's a Pass the Parcel panel on Sunday. That was hilarious when it started getting up. All these people were like, we want Brody Cons because we've been all the others. And so many of them crashed because none of them knew how to actually run a convention.
They all wanted to go to a convention, not run the convention. Yeah. Yes.
The horror is pretty much like the horror story we tell around the campfire. It's like, none of the voice actors.
Perfect for this con.
Well, there's only four voice actors. You know what I mean? So, like, how many cons can they do?
Oh, no.
You know? Yeah.
They each take a
and
piece.
They still won't get paid, so.
But speaking of Bluey, just it's the millennial fantasy of having a dad who wants to be a parent.
It's
such
a true
word.
It's hard.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, it's like the whole, like, and the idea that it is for parents, like, one major thing in favor of it being more for parents than kids is sleepy time.
Oh my goodness, that episode.
Oh my god, yeah.
For those who don't know, it is, the younger daughter is having some trouble sleeping, and they're like, the mother's trying to reassure her, and she has a dream where she and her stuffed bunny are flying through the solar system while one of Holt's, I don't remember which one of the planets. It's just playing. It is all, like, dialogue free, but it is, if you are a, like, I'm not even a parent, but I'm like, oh my god, this is so emotional.
We have a pup at home, and she loves that episode.
If you haven't seen it, I recommend it if you need a good cry.
Oh yeah, no, it's made me cry more than once.
I mean, Bluey is a great example of a show that is not made for kids and it's not made for adults, it's made for family.
Yes.
Because there are things in it that have reduced me to absolute tears, the camping episode.
Oh, man.
Mind. But, I mean, there are things where I know, I thought, yep, there you go, there's the target audience for the little kids, too. And it's an amazing show. Not what we're here to talk about. An amazing show.
No,
it's so well done.
I think it's in that kind of proof of the evolution of furry, though. Because, you know, if you go back a ways, people would have never thought that this would be, you know, they would be considering it in the same scope of, like, Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
And that kind of deal. And then Bluey comes along now, and at the point that we're at today, and everyone's like, well, as a dad, I have realized that there's a whole bunch of other dads that are now comparing themselves and taking cues off of what the dad, the cartoon dog, anthro dad, bandit, is doing in the show to figure out how to be a better dad for their kids. I'm just like, thank
you. I'm not
going to
lie,
we used to learn more from our parents. Some of us.
These days, it seems like...
Yeah, true.
I got lucky. Sorry.
It's okay. I'm not going to lie, when I first saw Blue, very beginning when I first saw Bluey, I was like, okay, this is another Teen Titans
girl. Oh, no.
I thought Bluey was supposed to be really seven.
It's no Finch.
But I watched it, and I was shocked. Mm-hmm. And that's really all that mattered to me. Mm-hmm. Story, characters, that's what it's all about. So, I guess the moral story there is don't do a good fight's cover.
Yeah.
Except if it's Thundercats Roar and Toon Dog.
What's it called?
Thundercats Roar.
It's aimed solely at kids with fart jokes. There's no
It's like a whole category.
There's
of
the remake that lasted one season, like the actual remake, which was awesome.
Yeah, the one with the Boy Meets World guy.
Yes. And then there was another remake after that where they make them old chibi characters and it's all fart jokes.
That thing. Oh yeah. No.
It's okay if you bleach it from your memory, bleach it for now.
But did Snarf talk in that one? Because Snarf did not talk in the good remake. That was my only criticism. I miss Snarf.
Snarf.
Yeah.
He almost talked in one episode.
We love you.
When he was trying to stop Lionel, he's like, no, no. And that's the only time you heard him talk to someone. I forget what episode it is, though. I want to say it's the Duelist and the Drifter. the Usagi guy.
Yeah, they love Starfade.
You definitely check that out. But, oh my goodness, we're almost at the hour. So, I guess what I want to close with, where do you guys want the Phantom to go?
Where do we want it?
Mars.
Okay, you know, we're not doing that.
Joe Don insulted me with that.
I don't even think about it.
You know what? I mean, where would you want to go from here? I mean, it could be anything.
I would like it to just be a known quantity in society that furry exists, and not have it be like for some people.
They're shocked that they've never even heard of it before.
Like, I would like it to just be like,
you're in the Marvel, you're in the furry.
Yeah, you're in the Marvel. Yeah, exactly. It's not something that like you have to feel like. You have to explain it to your coworkers when you say you're going to a furry convention.
Or obfuscate it.
Or just record it.
Nobody at work knows who I am.
Same.
Right?
It's not that I'm embarrassed, but it's that I just don't want to open up all the questions and have to answer all the answers.
Loaded questions, you know?
Yeah.
Is it a sex thing?
Yeah, that all the time.
I'll wear this around town and get compliments on it.
So
I think someone is like, fuck it, I don't care. I'm not going to be embarrassed. If somebody makes fun of my hat, I don't care, because I get more compliments than any derogatory.
And I do feel like it's moving that direction. I grew up in the Midwest, and I just moved out here a couple years back. But in the Midwest, I mean, furry fandom, in a lot of places, that are non-existent or incredibly underground. But just recently in my professional life, I see, you know, a coworker of mine who's relatively high up in a hospital organization posting pictures of them going to a furry convention with their kid who's in full suit. And, like, no apologies, no problems. Like,
kids, you can go away with all the
ones. Yeah.
I had older siblings, I couldn't.
But it was good to see someone in their professional life acknowledging and, like, I'm okay with saying this because it's not going to tank my career or, you know, things of that nature. Well, I'm starting to see that, and I'm hoping that it goes that direction.
That's awesome. Just to say what you said with kids about sex, my response, if you really have a buzz, why you want it?
Yeah.
And then that response, because then now the ball's in their court, depending on what they say, maybe you should be considering, maybe I should be working for this person. Or maybe you're happier. I'm not here to judge.
I'd like to see a little bit more emphasis kind of codified about the best thing about the current version of the community, like individual like expression, the way that developing a persona can help you like find who you want to be. I think that these are super useful tools, especially for young people, and if we can make that part of the forefront of what people perceive about the fandom, I think that would be great. You know what I mean? If in 20 years that's the first thing that comes to mind, like, oh, it's about self-expression, it's about identity, that would be really useful.
Yeah.
It
was
always about the art and the animals.
Of course it's about the art and the
animals. Thank you for coming.
Yes, thank you for having this.
Sorry, we have to say goodnight to the little one.
Thank you.
That's the crossover, is there's just like being a fan of it and then getting into identifying more of it. Like when you're away, do you turn it off? Or like, I mean, there are people who like dress up like Doctor Who or Star Trek. It's like it is more of their life than just watching the show.
A lifestyler.
Lifestylers, yeah.
That's an old term.
There's something
getting away from the phrase the furry fandom, and people are calling it much more now, and I agree, the furry community.
Yes.
We've gone way past being a fandom.
We
are our own thing.
What a good point.
And we're fans of each other. And
Kagi says that we're fans of ourselves. Kagi said.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I am.
I'm
growing,
I'm
keep the positivity.
Yeah, yeah. It's earlier in the rage room. So, actually, in fact, they got me in charge.
They're like the
IT person's like the front line. He's like, I want you in charge of this.
What was it that Lincoln said at the end of?
You know, that's a good pun. I
think
that's
actually excellent. Be excellent to each other.
Yes.
And party on, dude.
Party on, dudes. Cloud. Party? Oh, I know. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But if anyone wants to see some of the furry vintage stuff I brought, come take a look at the end of the panel. A lot of it is adult artwork, so I'll just preface you. It's mostly blotches. Yeah, that was... Ken Kit is... Oh, I love her work so much.
Any other comments?
Well, I think we said asking where we're going. I kind of would say, like, I'm curious about stuff I wouldn't have thought of. Like, with the Therian stuff, like, I'm an old school Therian. And, like, in my day, we just called it running on all fours up the stairs. Now the kids do quadrobics or something. Doing TikToks around, like, and it's not scholarly. Part of it's like, God damn, I envy their knees.
It's
a whole yeah. This whole, they're coming up with stuff we didn't think, we just didn't really know. They're coming up with their own new thing. So I want to see what the next generation, the kids who are, they're minors coming with their parents when they're old enough, what are they going to come up with we would not have thought of?
Yeah.
And then we'll claim, oh, it's just like that thing from 20 years ago. Okay. We're all now. That's,
yeah. Did anyone notice in,
like your parents' stuff now. Yeah.
In Zootopia, when they're in the Ancient History Museum, Nick and everything is kind of like this. It's like he's on all fours. You know what I mean? He's got the short legs and everything. And he almost looks like he's on all fours, like you know, feral animals.
Did he find a copy of Omaha the Cat?
No.
When he has the predator stuff in him, doesn't he sort of become, like, four-legged? And
yeah, exactly, yeah.
To get closer to her on the ground, but that's more a cinematography thing.
Right.
Well, that and the fact that he was fingerless, I mean, he didn't actually get it. If you haven't seen this, okay.
Right.
Sorry,
spoilers. He didn't actually get the, he faked it.
You know, even with spoilers, it's still worth it. I've watched it so many times, I can't stop.
It's for a cop movie. So it's the detail, it's one of those where it's worth watching on DVD because you get the small detail when you pause it. Like, Weaselton, the guy...
I'm sorry, DVD?
Yeah.
Or Blu-ray.
I have the Blu-ray, yeah.
Yes, I legally own it.
I can watch anytime I want on my phone, actually, yeah.
But, like, the guy
I have a digital copy.
The bootleg copies, and they're all
Duke,
like...
Duke Weaselton.
Yeah. By
things that haven't even been released yet. And one of them was something called Jurassic.
Yeah.
Disney was supposed to have a movie called Gigantic, and they kind of ran into a brick wall. It's like, oh, we don't know what we're going to do with it. We canceled it. But it's still in there. So it was. So they had, what is it, Wreck-It Rhino, and they had Moana, or whatever it was, Meowna, whatever. But it was like, but that was an in-joke, but no one realized maybe at the time that the movie was going to get canceled. So it never actually got made.
Right.
Oh yeah. Well, they had a whole bunch of like posters. They had La La Lamb and Steve Paws instead of Steve Jobs.
The Godfather of Vol was mixed with Nick was the skunk butt rug.
There's, yeah.
Yes. Oh my God.
Like what is supposed to be episode?
And in the junior novelization, they refer to a skunk pride parade. Skunk pride, gay pride.
Yeah.
and of course we know about Judy's Neighbors, but anyway.
Disney's always put little stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's like this stuff like Who Framed Roger Rabbit. If you freeze a frame, so there's always going to be these people putting in those little details that might be missed the first time. And, but even old Looney Tunes was made for everyone. Like they, what was it? One of the club ones with the City Wolf and Country Wolf.
Yeah.
And you had.
Can you guys get for the next panel?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they got to. They got to in about 20 minutes, maybe not even. They got to start setting up. Actually, they should set up now. Actually,
it was the one that was
so good.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank
you. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna be back for this panel, but I gotta change my battery.